Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is a joy to be back with you again. I've been gone for a couple of weeks with my family, and it is delightful to be back, especially with these texts. I refer to this text in Isaiah as the worship leader's texts. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath and pursuing your own interests on our holy day, things would go much better for you. If you call the Sabbath a delight, a holy day of the Lord, honorable, to honor it, not going your own ways, things will be better. Just can't say it enough. People should come to church. At least that's how those of us who make our living this way and who rejoice in worship feel about it. But that's not quite right. On its face, the texts for this Sunday seem to want to help us remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It seems almost like a command. And in fact, for much of our history, we have seen worship not only as a place where we get to sing and see one another, but as a famously guilty time of the week. Some of us, myself included, went to church mostly because that's what you did on Sunday morning. For generations, it was what you did on Sunday morning. I'm glad that you came this Sunday morning. But the world is changing. The Sabbath has fallen into disuse and away from God's original intent. In our first lesson that comes from Isaiah, the people of God have been in covenant with the Lord and then fallen away and then in covenant with the Lord again, and then the temple got destroyed and then they fell back out of the way. And by third Isaiah now, after the second destruction of the temple, they're beginning to come back to Jerusalem for the first time and they have hope. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. Don't forget, Isaiah says, to keep the Sabbath, the holy stop day, the day of rest, for it is a gift from God. In our New Testament lesson, Jesus also is at the temple, that place of restoration. And he finds there, as he is teaching, a woman who is bent over, it says in the text. Bent over and in need of healing. And in a very undramatic way, especially for this gospel, Jesus simply lays hands on her and she straightens up. She is released from what has bound her in half, finding new life and a new perspective. Not surprisingly, the temple authorities think that probably isn't a good idea. But do you notice in the text, the leader of the temple does not talk to Jesus. Who does he talk to? You people. You people, there are 6 days that you can come here and get healed. Don't come here to get healed on the Sabbath. I thought that was remarkable. You people. And Jesus replies, it is necessary. The word in Greek is day. It is necessary that she be healed now. With that action and those words, Jesus sets both the Sabbath and us free. The Sabbath is no longer just holy obligation. It is holy opportunity. The Sabbath is no longer just the place where we raise our voices in thanks and supplication to God, but where we are raised upright. The Sabbath is the place not to be straightened out, but to be straightened up. And what a difference that is. In some places, the Sabbath is used as the place where we can finally get you straightened out. All of your sins of the week, which you have messed up on time and time again, I know, I get a catalog on the internet, just like in the movies, all the things that you've done all week, and then you come to church and you're supposed to get forgiven and get all of that wiped away, straightened you out, all of your morals set straight. I've been to enough of those in my life that it is exhausting. But Jesus seems to think that this is, on the Sabbath, the place where we are healed, where we are stood upright from our cares, upright from what weighs us down. Not straightened out, but straightened up. What a different view of the Sabbath. Even Martin Luther understood this, which is hard to believe for a crotchety, old, crusty German. Even he, and please don't be shocked, but you'll find out that Luther once said that Sabbath, worship, is where the word is rightly preached and the sacraments are administered in their purity. And then in a most uncharacteristic way, he said, all the rest doesn't matter. What liturgy you use, what songs you sing, what prayers you pray, those can all change. But the nature of God's graceful word and God's graceful action and God's abundant love must remain. For it is in the eating of the meal and the hearing of the word that we are stood upright from our bentness, released from that which binds us tight against ourselves. But it doesn't happen just by magic or by proximity. Perhaps the greatest grief for many of us who are responsible for worship is when people quit coming for whatever reason. And often those reasons are just unfathomable. I don't like the hymns, or someone said something unkind to me, or it was too cold, or it was too hot. Sometimes it's just that they just can't take it. It's too much. Sometimes the excuses are good, but you see, this healing, this standing upright that happens to us in worship, doesn't happen by holy fiat. It happens because of you. Because of the gifts that God has given you for compassion and empathy. People don't come here to hear me. They come here to meet you. More ministry happens out in the courtyard and in the pew before and after the service, and frankly during the rather lengthy passing of the peace, than ever happens in the 8 minutes that I'm preaching. By the way, the clock still is not helping you. I'm just saying. You see, what I think Jesus understands and what God Jesus tries to help us over and over to understand is that coming here on Sunday morning and observing the Sabbath is not that holy obligation that we can check off, but it is an opportunity to be gathered with God's people in the Spirit, to be fed with love and care. To trample the Sabbath is to act as if it doesn't matter. To trample the Sabbath is to miss the opportunity to love a neighbor. To trample the Sabbath is to decide not to be a part of the body and mind and soul and love of worshiping together in Christ. Jesus on that day frees that woman from being bent over, looking at the ground, to being upright and looking into the eyes of her neighbor. And so Christ unbinds us so that we never miss the opportunity to gaze into needful eyes, to hold aching hands, to see the earth and its need for healing, to share with one another the power and the peace of Sabbath. And so Jesus sets the Sabbath free and the woman free. But most of all, Christ sets us and the earth free for Sabbath life. Amen.